Thank you all very much, and we will go on to the second case of the day, which is State on behalf of Riley G. versus Ryan G. And first of all, I should inquire, Mr. Chipman, are you here?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Kaplan, are you here?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. And attorneys from the previous case, you're free to stay on the call if you wish, but you certainly are free to go. So I appreciate that very much. With that, Mr. Chipman, good morning to you, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Dave Chipman, and I have the pleasure of representing the appellant, Mr. Ryan Garcia. This is a case where the parties were never married. At the time of trial, Your Honor, the minor son was 11 years old. His name's Riley. Riley had at the time of trial, lived in Lincoln, Nebraska all of his life, except for a period of a little bit less than 2 years when he lived in Des Moines with his mother, when she had relocated for a boyfriend. But from 2017 on, he had lived in Lincoln. All of his extended family, or almost all of his extended family, also lived in Lincoln. And the court specifically found in this case that Mr. Garcia was very active in Riley's life and very committed in a deep and significant way. That's actually a quote from Judge Ott in the district court. Ms. Kuhn had just married at the time she filed the complaint. She'd been married less than 4 months. She married a Missouri National Guardsman. And this National Guardsman was going to take a 1-year deployment out to Washington, D.C. I think that's very important. No one calls it anything but a deployment in this case, Your Honor. Ms. Kuhn, despite being married for only 4 months, for less than 4 months, and being a registered nurse making more than $20 an hour, and having just moved from her grandparents' home with Riley in Lincoln, Nebraska, suddenly says she could not financially make it in Lincoln without her husband, files a complaint to modify, asking, and I think it's very important language of that complaint, are very important. She actually says that he is going to be stationed outside of Nebraska because of a deployment, uses the term deployment, and she's allowed to relocate with Riley to Washington, D.C., and then to wherever her husband is next stationed. Your Honor, there has never been a case in Nebraska jurisprudence that has found a temporary relocation of either the parent, the custodial parent, or a custodial parent's spouse is a legitimate reason to relocate from the state of Nebraska. That's never been the case. And
Mr. Chipman,
there's obvious reasons for that. It's completely temporary in nature. It was less, it was a year or less. And it was a deployment. And by its very nature, it was temporary. Even in the testimony of the husband, Mr. Chubbs, Ms. Kuhn's husband, he's talking about the fact that
Mr. Chipman, excuse me a second. I think we've got a question from Justice Funk.
Can you hear me, Mr. Chipman?
No, Your Honor. I apologize.
Okay. Thank you. Worried about that. What did the district court decide? Is this a temporary relocation? Is it a permanent relocation? Is it a permanent relocation to Washington, D.C.? Or what did the district court decide?
Your Honor, the court clearly did not decide this with a temporary relocation. They allowed a permanent relocation from the state of Nebraska. And I think that's important because we have some, cases like Jack v. Clinton that says, not to allow temporary relocations, things like that. The court allows Ms. Kuhn to permanently remove the child from the state of Nebraska. And that is clear from the order. In the order, the judge actually says that she can, the appellant is given the authority to move out of the state of Nebraska with Riley. Accordingly, her request is approved, which we make the assumption, I think both parties made the assumption, that meant that Ms. Kuhn could go to Washington, D.C. for 1 year, and then to wherever the husband was next stationed, Your Honor. So it was a permanent relocation. I think it's very important in the terms of this military deployment. Mr. Chubbs is a Title 32, and this is testimony in there, a Title 32 asset to the state of Missouri, meaning that he answers to the governor under Title 32 orders. He then gets Title 10 orders to go active Army. He goes active Army for a period of only 1 year. 1 year. And then he's, and then by his own testimony, he is back to Missouri. And he's back to Missouri as a, again, a Title 32 National Guardsman, again, answering to the governor of Missouri. And he, like he says, I'm, you know, I, nothing is certain beyond the fact that I'm returning to Missouri. Now, they do speculate that most likely his next assignment will be either be in Missouri or will be in Alabama. But, you know, moving from, skipping all the way from legitimate reason down to this court erred by, the district court erred by allowing an open continuum of relocations, is that the Maryville v. Dworak case states that you have to analyze each move out of the state of Nebraska. So if you go from Illinois to Ohio, which I believe was the case in Maryville, you have to have analysis. And in this case, you have some evidence regarding Washington, D.C., but you have almost no evidence regarding Alabama or Missouri. And I think it's important to say that, that's why the language, I believe, is in Maryville v. Dworak. And this court at least implicitly stated that he can make, that Ms. Coons, excuse me, can accompany her husband and make that next move wherever it may be. You know, it could be Fort Benning, Georgia. It's unclear. They speculate again that they say at times there's almost zero chances anywhere beyond Missouri or Alabama. But I think it's a very important fact that there is no analysis in this record because they don't know anything about Alabama. They really don't know anything about Missouri.
Mr. Chipman, I think Justice Castle has a question.
Yes, I've been trying to ask. It's, to me, it's a little bit, I have two questions. The first one is to clarify, are you or are you not contending that this is a temporary order?
No, Your Honor, I am not intending this is a temporary order. I'm intending it's a permanent order.
All right. The other question I want to ask, the parties seem to agree that the terms of the Uniform Deployed Parents Custody and Visitation Act do not apply to this case. Assuming that that's the case, that the parties agree the act does not expressly apply, are the principles or purposes underlying that legislation relevant to the situation here? And if so, how should they inform our decision?
They're only relevant, I believe, in a couple instances in giving you some kind of guidance. One is, if you look at that, the underlying purpose of that act, which is to not punish a deploying parent, Your Honor, for, you know, being in the military and then having to lose custody because they're deployed. And the second part is the act actually defines deployment, which is 6 weeks to a year and a half. And in this case, you know, it's basically for a temporary location. And I think the most important fact is under that act, the understanding is that deploying parent is going to come back to Nebraska, and that was absolutely not the case in this particular instance, where they were saying, hey, we want to go to Washington, D.C. Ms. Coon was saying that, and then wherever my husband's going, and even though my husband maybe go right back to his guard unit, he's going to work one more day a week, and we want to live in Missouri now. We don't want to live in Lincoln, Nebraska, and make him travel more. So I don't believe it applies there, but I think it is helpful.
Under our case law regarding removal, how should we interpret the district court's order stating that the mother is granted leave to remove the minor child from the state of Nebraska and to determine his primary place of residence?
I think you have to look at the two primary pleadings, Your Honor. Or they say the pleading, which is the complaint. And in the complaint, they very clearly identify what they want, which is the husband is a guardsman. He is going to Washington, D.C. on a deployment, and that the mother desires to go wherever, and that's a key term of art, wherever he goes next. And then you have to also look at the language of that order, Your Honor, where the judge, you know, the judge in this case states that they are allowed to relocate outside of the state of Nebraska, and that it is granted. Her request is granted. And so her request was to permanently relocate outside of the state of Nebraska with the child and then to wherever the next duty station was going to be.
Are you contending that the order was ambiguous?
It is ambiguous, unfortunately, Your Honor. It is ambiguous, but I think that you can basically glean what the court is saying based upon the pleadings and the requests and the testimony of the parties. And again, at no point in time did Ms. Kuhn ever state that she ever intends to return back to Nebraska after that deployment. It was always to Nebraska and then somewhere else.
Is part of your argument, or is it just the same thing recast, that the court improperly delegated to the mother to make placement decisions?
That's very well put, Your Honor. That's actually, yes, that is exactly what I'm trying to say, is that the court basically gave her carte blanche. And there's even some questioning by the counsel for Mr. Garcia at trial, where he says, "You're asking for carte blanche," and she says, "Yes. You know, wherever my husband may be, wherever, you know, that could be anywhere. It could be Hawaii," and she says, "Yes." And this court, and again, I think it's very important, the pleadings, Your Honor, she's asking for wherever after Washington, D.C. And in this case, the judge said her request is granted. Absolutely, Your Honor, I do believe that that did occur, that she, that the court did improperly delegate its judicial authority to the mother to allow her to relocate wherever she sees fit for her child.
Thank you very much. I believe that your 10 minutes is exhausted, Mr. Tiffin. So we will go on to the appellees. Ms. Camplin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Lindsay Camplin. I am the attorney for Ms. Rochelle Keene. She is the third party defendant in this case, and she had petitioned the court for permission to remove the minor child from the state of Nebraska for her husband's employment. Ms. Keene did demonstrate two distinct reasons for leaving the state that have been expressly recognized as legitimate by this court. First, that she was moving to be with a spouse who lives and is employed in another state. And second, that she was moving for a spouse's new employment. Ms. Keene is married to someone who is employed by the National Guard. Mr. Chubb has been in the National Guard for 13 years. It is a permanent job. He was deployed as part of that position to Fort Belvoir, which is in the Virginia, Washington, D.C. area.
What is the significance of the term deployed or deployment, or is there any?
The significance is that this was a mandatory relocation. This was not something that was done by choice. There was a lot of questioning at trial by Mr. Garcia's counsel as to whether or not Ms. Keene, they were moving for better job opportunities, for better schooling, for better environmental reasons. And there was no significance to those factors in the Farnsworth analysis because this was not something they were doing by choice. This was a required move for the period of 1 year. This was also not a temporary move because it was a deployment. This was something that is part of his actual job that required him to go to that DC area for that period of time, and then would require him to either relocate back to Missouri, which is, again, outside of Nebraska, or potentially Alabama. Mr. Chubb testified.
So counsel.
Yes.
Counsel, what happens after this 1 year then? Is she allowed to take the child to Missouri or to Alabama or to Nebraska or to wherever else she sees fit? What happens after the deployment is completed?
Your Honor, it's our position this order is not ambiguous in that it grants her request to be able to move where her husband is stationed. Her husband testified at trial. He's very specialized in his field of work. He is a Black Hawk pilot instructor, and there are only two locations in the United States where the type of job he has are to be found, Alabama or Missouri. And so if she is following the order that she can go to wherever her husband is next stationed, it's going to be limited to those two states. And so it's our position.
Is that in the order?
It's in the order that her request is granted to be able to remove the child from the state. And her request in that pleading was that she could go to where her husband was stationed.
Well, aren't you looking outside the four corners of the decree or the order in that argument? And consequently, aren't you arguing that it is ambiguous?
I would say that the court was clear in its findings section as to whether or not the child was going to be relocated internationally or elsewhere in the United States. It was clear that the child would only be in these certain areas. And so I do think that within the four corners of the document itself, it is identified that Alabama or Missouri would be the two options.
Well, how, I asked Mr. Chipman, and I'll ask you too, how do we interpret the district court's order stating, and I quote, mom is granted leave to remove the minor child from the state of Nebraska and to determine his primary place of residence, close quote. That's not Missouri or Alabama, that's just to determine, isn't it?
It is, but I also think that it's clear that the mother has the ability to reside where she deems to be the best for her child. We don't have a case that specifically says there has to be an identified location necessarily for the child to reside. The mother in this case was found to be the primary custodian. She was found to be the appropriate parent to maintain custody of the child regardless of where she lives. And so the argument distinguishing this from the Moranville case is that in that situation, the secondary move was not even addressed or considered at trial. At this trial, the evidence was presented that Ms. Keene would not be in the Fort Belvoir area beyond 1 year, that there would need to be a relocation. And so in the interests of judicial economy and in the interests of not having to put everyone through this process again in 1 year, let's go ahead and talk about that secondary move and put that into our order. And so I think it allowed for the family to remain intact. It allowed for the family to save on the financial issues. Mr. Chipman mentioned that my client is unable to afford to live in two different places from her family.
Does the order imply that after a year, the movement will be to either Alabama or to Missouri?
I don't know that it implies anything. I think that you could gather from the findings that that is where they will be going. Again, this is a very specialized career path. This is not something that there is a position for in Nebraska, and that was specifically testified to, that the closest location to Nebraska was at the Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri. And so I believe it's based on the testimony and based on the findings in the order that it is clear that there are only two options where the child can reside after the 1 year is up.
Do you think the language of the order limits the options to the mother geographically, looking at the order itself?
Looking at the order itself, it does not specifically limit her, but I believe that the court understood, based on the testimony and again within its findings, that she was not given carte blanche authority to go anywhere. She could not, for example, if she and her husband were to separate and she were to move to Florida and he was not with her, I believe that would be outside of the court's intent because that was not the reason she was granted that removal right. She was not given that right to just carte blanche determine where the child would live. She was given the right to reside with her husband wherever he may be stationed.
For limited to deployment issues on the face of the order?
Well, for the deployment issues for the year, and then when that deployment is up, his position is then either in Missouri, where he's been, or in Alabama.
I'd like to ask you the same question I asked Mr. Chipman. The parties seem to agree that the Uniform Deployed Parents Custody and Visitation Act does not expressly apply to this case, but are there principles or purposes underlying that legislation that are relevant here? And if so, how should they inform our decision?
I would agree that the underlying principle of not punishing a military family by removing custody is a very important underlying principle that needs to be considered. Again, if we're asking Ms. Keene to come back to this court in 1 year for permission to reside with her husband in Missouri or in Alabama, we are costing her more money, time, energy. The child is potentially put back through this process again because his opinion is one of the relevant factors. And we have a family who desires to stay together as a family unit. Ms. Keene did have a child with her husband. I believe the timeline of their marriage is irrelevant. The fact is they are married and they do have an interest and a right to maintain their family unit in one piece. And the evidence was that Ms. Keene is the proper custodial parent. There's no evidence that Mr. Garcia should have custody if Ms. Keene were to stay here. There's no evidence that Mr. Garcia should have custody regardless of the move. And so to punish Ms. Keene simply for the fact that her husband is being stationed outside of the state through a deployment and then through subsequent employment. That would be against the spirit of that act, which is meant to keep those families together and not punish them for the military service they're providing.
What does the record show about the husband's employment out in Missouri at the before this deployment to the Washington, D.C. area? He was residing in Lincoln and working in Missouri. Is that what the record shows?
He was doing that. However, his schedule was going to be changing following the deployment. And he had testified that he would be working another day per week at the Air Force Base in Missouri, which was going to make it difficult for him to continue to do the back and forth. Additionally, with the new child, it was Mr. Chubb's first child. And so he testified about a desire to be home more and with the family more. And so Ms. Keene testified that her intention was to relocate to Missouri after that deployment, if that's where Mr. Chubb was going to end up. So this was a situation where it was not possible or an option for Ms. Keene to remain in Nebraska and or to return to Nebraska after the 1 year deployment.
How much should or does the child's preference enter into this?
I think it gets substantial weight because the party stipulated to it. There is no dispute. This is not something where the child spoke and the father said, I disagree with what was said because I think he was coached or encouraged. This is a situation where the parties agreed. This is what the child believes. The child wants to be with his mother. The child has a closer relationship with his mother, and the mother has been the primary caretaker. And I think the fact that there is no dispute between the parents as to what the child wants elevates that element even further, because it's something that everyone agrees that the child wants to be with his mother, knowing that she's going to be moving, knowing that there are at least two moves in his future. He has said, I want to go with my mom, wherever that may be.
Counsel, you said that she could not return back to Nebraska after this deployment. Is there evidence of the record that she could not do so? Because they, in fact, were living in Nebraska, and her husband was working for the Missouri National Guard before the deployment. So is there evidence in the record that she could not have moved back to Nebraska after the deployment?
Yes, the evidence was that Mr. Chubb's intention was to reside in Missouri if he went back to White Hill. And Ms. Keene had testified that financially it would be difficult for them to maintain two households, to have two sets of expenses.
So it's based on his desire to move to Missouri. Is that correct?
It was based on his need to move to Missouri because of the fact that his schedule would be changing and it would become more difficult for him to do the commuting he had been doing when he was living in Lincoln.
Thank you.
Ms. Kamplin, if your client at the end of this deployment, this 1 year deployment, if the entire family moves to Texas, how would Mr. Garcia enforce this modified decree? And could he?
I believe it would be at the very least a material change in circumstances, given the fact that the order discusses the locations they would potentially be moving to, and since this was outside of what the court had expected. This was not testified to at trial. This was something we did not anticipate at the time the order was entered, and so we need to modify this accordingly. The order did give Ms. Keene the ability to make that decision as far as what is appropriate for the child, but it was in light of where her husband would be stationed.
I believe, Ms. Kamplin, that your time has been exhausted. Do we have any time for rebuttal? We do not have any time for rebuttal. I want to thank both parties for participating in this oral argument. It's greatly appreciated.